Hey, my name is Parker Manuel, pastor of Pinewood Church in Boulder, Colorado, where our mission is to meet people where they are and point them to Jesus. Hope you enjoy today's podcast.
We are diving into a new series on relationships. Does anybody need help in relationships? All right. How many of you have figured it all out? All right, one person. All right. Lies, liar. No, the reality is all of life consists of you interacting with other human beings, some like-minded, some not. At your workplace, at the gym, even at the grocery store, it is impossible to avoid people. I know some of you would like to as much as possible, but it is still yet impossible. I think how you handle your relationships and how you communicate, your attitude, are all incredibly important. But today, how we're kicking off the conversation is really how you think. Because I believe how you think will affect all of the other areas of your life. Before you speak, you thought. Before you acted, you thought. Before you disrespected somebody, you had a thought. So much of relationships begins in the mind. And that is a scary thought. Because none of our brains are perfectly linear or up and to the right as far as our health and well-being. Would you say that that's accurate of your life? I think it's more kind of like a roller coaster or more of some wild adventure. For example, most of my stories encompass some dangerous activity where I almost died. And this is true of this one as well. So there is a river that was right by our house. And me and my buddy, the water was really high. Me and my buddy said, hey, high water levels means a lot of fun. Let's go canoe down this river. And everyone is advising us this is a bad idea. But what's the worst that can happen? You know, you're in a boat, you swim to the shore, everything will be okay. So we set sail. And the very first waterfall, it was a literal waterfall, was the very first thing that we hit. Made it through that, and we thought, well, if we can make it through that, we're going to make it through anything. And so most of the water was pretty chill, pretty calm, and you're just rolling along. Then you hit some rapids. Now, what happens when you start, what happens in your mind, right, as you see the rapids coming? Adrenaline starts pumping. You start preparing yourself. You start saying, okay, remember, you got to paddle through it, right? That's how you go through rapids. You don't go through rapids with your paddle up. No. You go through the rapids doing some work. So we made it through a couple of rapids, but then it kind of goes tranquilo again. You know, it's calm, it's peaceful. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, just working on the Spanish. This is the first day English to Spanish. I'm gonna try the best I can here. But then it's kind of calm. About halfway through this adventure, we saw some rapids up ahead, and we're like, well, we made it through the waterfall. We've made it through several rapids already. We're going to be just fine. All of a sudden, we hit one. The boat went sideways. You know, we turned the boat. We went the other way, and we ended up capsizing. And I did something that's probably not the smartest thing to do. I put an anchor in the canoe, and I tied it to the boat. The reason is because if by some odd chance we did capsize, we flip, I didn't want to lose my canoe. This thing could end up in Texas for all I know. I want my canoe back. So it capsizes, the anchor falls to the ground. We're hanging onto the canoe, drowning. Eventually, long story short, I have to swim underwater, cut the rope. Never put an anchor attached to a rope in a canoe. This is a life lesson that I learned. And that tip has nothing to do with the message. It's just a fun fact. That adventure is like our brain. In some moments, we're in peaceful, you know, just peaceful waters. Everything is calm. You hit through some hard times mentally, but then you make it through. But then eventually, for some of us anyways, mentally, you just feel like I'm drowning. How many of you know, like, whenever that boat was upside down and I'm hanging on for my life with water in my face, freezing cold, I wasn't thinking logically. I wasn't working through the system in my mind. Adrenaline was pumping and I'm like, I just gotta stay alive. Has anybody felt that mentally in their life? I'm just trying to make it to another minute. I'm just trying to make it to tonight or hopefully another day. Don't you think in a mental state of drowning, that is going to affect all of your relationships in every way? Well, good news. The Bible actually speaks to what happens when you feel like you're drowning mentally and when you feel like you're overwhelmed and when you feel like there's a lot of anxiety over your life. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read this passage together, Philippians chapter 4. And let's start in verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Let's read this verse 6 together. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And I'll take it over from here. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." Today, I want to talk to you about restoring your mind. At some level, there are some broken pieces in the way that we think, some broken pieces in the way that we process. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on how through God, through Jesus, and the peace that he offers, your mind can be restored. First, I want to look at the problem and the state of mental health. Do you know how, has anybody ever used Pinterest? The algorithm of Pinterest is kind of like the algorithm of our brain. This is an interesting thing. It's an incredible app. When you hit a button of a design or an idea, let's say you're remodeling your kitchen and you hit the button, it says, oh, you want to see other things like that. And so then the next category are images and pictures and ideas that are similar to that. You hit another one, it fine-tunes it even more. Hit another button, it fine-tunes it anymore. This is like our brain and negative thinking. It starts with one simple negative thought, and then all of a sudden your brain expands that and is like, okay, well, what about all these other scenarios? What about all these other ideas? And you hit another one and it fine-tunes it even more. It said that in a day's time, research shows that in a day's time, over 70% of our thinking are negative thoughts. And then you have to work anywhere between 8 to 10 times harder to input a positive thought where otherwise there would have been a negative thought. Meaning that it is extremely hard work to be thinking positively all of the time. Where am I, optimists in the room? Even you have negative thoughts sometimes. There's three common patterns of negative thinking. The first is self-doubt and inadequacy. This is the pattern of saying, I am not good enough. I think this one is all of us. I think at some point we all have the thought, I'm not good enough. Or maybe we have a different thought, but if you trace that thought to its root, the root ultimately will be, I'm not good enough. It also could play itself out in the way of saying, I can't do this. I've failed too many times. I can't accomplish this. But psychological studies show that self-doubt impairs performance and it leads towards avoidance behaviors. So we go from bad to worse to ugly. We have an image or a thought in our minds catch this idea that I'm not good enough. It leads us to bad performance. Then it leads us to isolation. And what's going to happen when you have an already negative thought in isolation? It spirals out of control. Next, we have catastrophizing. First negative pattern is self-doubt. The second is catastrophizing. And this is a disaster. Could it possibly be going any worse than this? You take one simple act and then you roll out in your mind every possible negative scenario that could possibly happen, and you think that's going to be my life. This results in increased anxiety and symptoms of depression. The third is overgeneralization. This is the thought pattern of saying, this always happens to me, or I'll never get it right, or everyone thinks this way. In general, how many of you know it's not always best practice to think and respond in always and never? Yeah. Can I get an amen there? So these are the patterns that we have. Our mindset is a roller coaster. So where do we go from here? Scripture in this passage says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Simple, right? Isn't it amazing how easy Scripture makes it? Is it easy? Why? If it's written just, hey, it almost is just like whenever you're completely out of control in your mind, don't you hate that person that just walks up and says, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You don't tell me not to worry about it. That's kind of how sometimes I feel like even whenever I read this part, I'm like, do you even know what's going on in my life? Do you know me at all? Who are you to say not to worry about it? We don't like to hear just a don't worry about it. Just a don't worry about anything. How many of you have had the thought before where you're like, I know that passage, I know the scripture, I know all the right things to do, but that can't possibly mean anything. Do you know what I'm going through in my life? Don't worry about anything means don't worry about anything. Not your provision, whether or not you're going to be taken care of, not the end result, not the relationships in your life, not a conversation that you're about to have, not the tension in your marriage. The Bible says not to worry. So you're saying, okay, I've tried everything, but now I've tried everything. But now you're also telling me that I can't worry. So now what? What do I do? Scripture says, instead, don't worry, instead, pray. Put your mind at work, just not in the category of worry. Put your mind at work in prayer, an intentional conversation with God. It is impossible for you to be in prayer, having a conversation with God, while at the exact same time, fixated on your concern, becoming overly overwhelmed and worried. He says, don't worry, instead pray. Then he says to tell God what you need. Whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever it is you're worrying about, Scripture tells us to tell God, I need this. God, you already know, but I need help with rent this month. God, you already know, but I'm feeling really worried that I'm going to lose my job. Sometimes we feel that in our darkest hour, when we're overwhelmed, anxious, depressed, maybe even in the middle of a panic attack, we think, I can't go to God in this condition. I don't know what I might even say. Have you ever had that thought? I personally have been here before. Unhealthy mind, just negative thinking, depressed, middle of just panic attack, thinking, I don't even know what to say to God right now. Like, I just need to get out of this first, and then I can get everything right back with God. I've had that thought before. I can't go to God like this. I'm a mess. I'm in tears and I don't even know why. What would I even say? What would it look like if in those moments of your darkest hour of just like just brokenness in your brain, what if you just went to God and just said one word? Help. Help. Sometimes in those darkest hours, sometimes that's all you can say. Help. I got nothing else. That's it. Help. And then it says to thank him for all that he has done. I actually practiced this a lot these last couple of weeks because I was becoming just overwhelmed. You're like, man, you look overwhelmed right now. Hey, maybe I am. But several times this week, I was just feeling overwhelmed. My negative thinking was like taking over my brain. Just one little thought led to another thought, led to another thought. And I was like, what am I doing? And so I was like, God, I was just like, this is not the pattern of a restored mind that you want for me. And I said, so God, renew my mind, renew my heart. Like, help me understand that there's a bigger story here. And God just was giving me peace. And then it was almost like, without even thinking of this scripture, it was almost like God tapped me on the shoulder and said, look how far you've come. Like, look around. Like, stop what you're doing. Look around and look how far you've come. And so I did. I just took a pause right where I was standing in my backyard and I looked around and my heart just began to be filled with gratitude. Because sure, I'm not where I want to be. I'm kind of feeling overwhelmed, but I'm also not where I used to be. Like, God has brought me out of so much. He's taken me so far. He's blessed me with so much. And then I began to shift my attitude from negative pattern of thinking to being grateful and having a heart of gratitude for all God has done for me. So the pattern is as simple as this. It's not just don't worry, because that would bother me. But it's don't worry, instead pray. Meaning talk to God, even something as simple as help. Or even an inaudible word like, ah! You know, I mean, hey, God understands. God knows. So just whatever you can get out at the time. So pray, talk to God, tell him what you need, and then just begin to thank him and see what God does. That's the process that he gives us. So instead of worry, do these three things. But then there's a then. In the scriptures, there's a then you will. So if this, then that. If this, then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. This feels like a promise. This feels less like a suggestion. It feels more like a promise. So you're telling me if I do this, I will experience this, is what the scripture teaches. Why not take God at his word and give it a shot this week? You experience three things when you do the process that Paul outlines for us here. It says you'll experience God's peace that you couldn't possibly understand. You're like, where is this even coming from? What is happening to my mind? What's happening to my heart? It's beyond understanding. Number two, his peace will guard your hearts. See, some of you are trying to get your emotions under control when really you need to first get your mind under control. It says that whenever you get your mind right, whenever you give it to God, tell him what you need and thank him, it says then he will guard your heart, your seat of your emotions. His peace beyond understanding, he'll guard your heart, and his peace will also guard your mind. There's an order. There's a process. The same thing that got you here is also the same thing that can get you out. And it's a thought. And it's something as a simple thought can change your life, and it can change your life forever. There's a story in the Bible of this woman who had a bleeding condition, and she was hemorrhaging, and Jesus was coming through the town, and he was healing people. And this woman, she fought her way through the crowds trying to get to Jesus. She's fumbling through. She gets through, and you know, Peter, Jesus's bodyguard, you know, is there, and you know, get out of the way, you know, pushing people away, and she kind of reaches through the crowds, and she touches him. And scripture says this in Matthew 9:19, it says, so Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she, say this with me, thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. You see, a thought may have got you there, but a thought can also get you out from your circumstance of where you are. If I can just get to Jesus, maybe I can be healed. Or maybe a thought of just, man, God, you do own everything. You will provide for me all of my needs. Or a thought that says, God, you are the ultimate restorer. Everything that is broken, if I can just get to you, I believe that you can restore what's broken in my mind. A thought that God wants to restore relationships. If I can just get with you, maybe you can help restore the relationships that are around me. One thought of the promises of God, one thought of his provision, one thought of his protection, one thought of his power, and one thought in his presence can change your life forever. So what in your life right now feels broken? There are three statements that, there are three really emotions that you might be feeling put into a statement that I want to address. And what I want to address is the thought that you have, and then I want to put scripture where you have that thought. The first thought is this, I'm afraid. Anybody ever have that thought? I'm afraid. You may not be a fearful person, but fear can creep in subtly and at any moment. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Number two, I'm depressed. Depression, the definition is feelings of severe despondency and dejection. But in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalms 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. A song that we were singing, restore to me the joy of our salvation and fill it all up with Jesus. Number three, I'm anxious. As the passage we're looking at today, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I think that's a fantastic verse to memorize. Because I feel like, especially right now in our culture, we are plagued. I mean, this is the epidemic of our day, is a feeling of anxiety. Everyone at every level is feeling it right now. Even just in the conversations that I'm having with people today, I'm feeling, how was your week? Man, it was a lot. Just out of curious, how many of you feel like you had a very full last, let's just say, couple weeks, and it felt like a lot, and at times you felt anxious? Okay, that's pretty much everyone in the room. It's not good to feel anxious and overwhelmed. It's not healthy. And it can lead towards even greater depression and fear. But God says, don't worry, but live at peace. Corrie Ten Boom said it this way, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. And finally, the invitation. So where do we go from here? So there's a problem here in Philippians, in the book of joy, we see Paul give this charge towards the people to substitute anxiety and worry for prayer. But then what are some other practices that we can take to restore our mind? I like to think of our mind as a bit of a battleground that you have to suit up for and go to war with of what's going on in your mind. Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. You're like, okay, I got this process. And then it hits you and you're like, what do I do next? Well, I want to give you some practical things that you can do to win the war of your mind. Pastor Craig Rochelle says, our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes who we are. Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. And I think it's true. So first, number one, arm yourself with truth. Arm yourself with the truth and the truth of God's word. God wants to speak to you, and he wants to give you tools. He wants to encourage your spirit. But in order to do that, you have to know the truth of God's word. Ephesians 6, 17 through 18 speaks to this. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit. What is a helmet good for? Protecting our brain. What good is the rest of the armor if you don't have a helmet and you get clocked in the head? Useless. All right. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. It is imperative that we get in the word of God and we understand the truth of God's word if we want to defend and have protection over the enemy. I made this simple meditation on truth acronym. It's called REST. You can have restoration when you rest. When you do these four things, REST, R, read God's word, E, engage in worship, S, seek the kingdom, and T, talk to God. It's practical. Maybe it's helpful for some. Even if it helps one person, God bless you. It's an acronym. Sometimes we need to rest if we want to experience restoration. Do those four things. Number two, so first, arm yourself with the truth of God's word. Number two, you got to secure the perimeter. Secure the perimeter of your thinking. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. I think it may be time to do as Nehemiah did, to get out and have a walk around the walls to see what is actually, where are the spots where the enemy can come into my thinking? And for some of us, we need to secure the perimeter and we need to build up back those areas where otherwise the wall has been broken down. And we need to not be conformed to the world where we're giving the enemy a seat, where we're inviting him in. I want to make this as practical as possible. For some of you, whenever you take a perimeter around your thinking, one of the parts of the walls that's broken down is what you're inputting through social media. As practical as possible. 37% study shows said that, and it was the leading stat by at least three times, cause that was leading them to depression was social media in comparison. So some of you need to take a walk around the perimeter and say, actually, I need to unfollow some people. I need to delete some apps, or I need to start following the right people. This is very basic, very simple. Some of you, you have a broken down wall about around other bad influences in your life, bad relationships or other inputs. Your inputs determine your outputs. You need to secure the perimeter by taking a walk around your thinking, and you need to shore up your walls, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number three, take every thought captive. You get a negative thought, catch it. You get an unholy thought, catch it. Impure thought, catch it. Untrue thought, you catch it. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Those three things that I shared in the very beginning, self-doubt, catastrophizing, I'm generalizing. You get one of those thoughts in your mind, you take it captive and you make it obey God. That's not what God says about me. I'm not good enough. That's not what God says about me. This always happens to me. That's not true. You take it captive and you make it obey God. Five, you go to God. You tell God what you need. You thank him for all he has done. Number six, you fix your focus. In verse 8, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What you are watching on television. I'm just going to get as practical as I possibly can, because sometimes you can think this in ethereal thoughts like, you're right, I need to renew my mind. And then you go right back to the old patterns. Is what you're watching on television true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? The music you're listening to, the conversations that you're having with your coworkers and your friends. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent and worthy of praise? You have to fix your focus on what God is calling you to fix your focus on. In the areas where you're not, you got to sacrifice. You got to give to God. And then finally, you got to set healthy rhythms in your week, healthy patterns. You're not going to get different results doing the same thing. So if you're saying, okay, well, I'm feeling anxious again, well, doing the same thing over and over again is not going to magically fix the pattern of you feeling anxious again. You got to set healthy rhythms in your life. I made a week calendar for you. You ready for this? Again, if this helps one person, come on. Sunday, we got Sanctify Sunday. That's here. Sanctify Sunday. Meditation Monday. Meditate on the Word of God. Psalms 1. Talk to God Tuesday. Worship God Wednesday. Thank God Thursday. Family and friends Friday and serve Saturday. And then we reset back again with Sanctify Sunday right here together. What do you think? Come on. I think that sounds like a fantastic week. Let's make it Fasting Friday. I'm going to pivot right now. Let's add fasting to our weekly rhythm. Fasting Friday, serve Saturday, and sanctify Sunday. My pastor, who's now with the Lord, he used to say, we trust him to produce what I am actively choosing to pursue. We trust him to produce. The results are him. It's his peace that we receive. But we trust him to produce the peace, the provision, the power, the protection. We trust him to produce what we are actively choosing to pursue. So are you actively choosing to pursue those things that we talked about, protecting your mind, pursuing thoughts on the Lord, prayer, thanking him, telling him all that you need? If you would, go ahead, stand to your feet. We're going to have a song of response. We're going to have a time of communion. I mean, I want to read you this passage in Isaiah. The idea of restoration is in kind of secular meaning is to take something that is broken or old and to the best of your ability, restore it back to its original condition. But restoration in the Bible is that it actually takes what is broken and it restores it to a new thing. For if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone. Behold, all things are made new. So my hope and prayer is that whenever we talk about having a restored mind, it's not that you take it back to my original way of thinking. Because that even in like the best version of my original thinking, it's probably still not great. No, I need a new mind. I need a new way of thinking, which only Christ can give. So I want to read this passage out of Isaiah 43. Verse 19, it says, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Whew. God wants to do a new thing in your life. And he's already begun. Do you believe? If you're here wrestling through, man, I'm feeling a lot of the things that you said. And I do want to experience the peace, but I have yet to put my faith and trust in Jesus. And I'm hesitant. I want those things, but I'm hesitant to actually go all in and believe in Jesus. My invitation for you is this. Don't put it off another day. Why not just believe? Why not just say, yes, God, I trust you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose, that you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And I put my trust in you today. And then why don't you just say, God, help. And watch what he does. Why don't you take that step with us today, that step of faith. I'm going to say a prayer. And this is a prayer that I want to invite everybody to pray. Even if you've already prayed to receive Christ, you can pray this prayer with us. Nobody goes on the journey alone. And why don't together, if you want to say yes to Jesus today, why don't you join us and say this prayer with us? Don't pray this to me. Don't pray it to the room. This is between you and God. Bow your head, close your eyes. Let's say this prayer together. Say, Jesus, I acknowledge that I need you. I confess that I have sinned against you. I believe that God has raised you from the dead. And right now, by faith, I say Jesus is Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. By your grace, I am saved. And by your power, I am set free. I want to say this one other thing, this last prayer. Maybe if you said yes to Jesus for the first time and you are feeling anxious, would you just say this to God right now? Just say, help. Help me.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more, or if you'd like to join us on a Sunday, head on over to pinewoodboulder.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it. And if you'd like to be notified every time we post new content, then subscribe. And remember, just keep coming back.